Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise you, the Lord. You're now once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. Yes, we do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. from Harper Woods, Michigan. That's Eastern Standard Time for those that are listening around the world. Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. every Thursday and every Saturday night. I want to say once again, I thank every one of you, each one of you, for faithfully tuning in, whether it's by phone or if you're listening through social media platforms around the world. We thank God for each one of you, and we don't take it lightly or for granted. So right now I'm asking all listeners, as I always do, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along, as our guest on tonight is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He always shares with us inspirational poems first, and then he will be delivering God's word on tonight. So again, please get your Bibles, your pen, and paper ready so that you can follow along. We always open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. I am asking all the listeners on tonight, those that are faithful doers of God's word and believe in prayer, I'm asking you all to pray for my late cousin Chris King, his wife, Deidre. She's buried one of her brothers in March of this year. My cousin passed away, I think, a little over 2 years ago, cousin Chris King, down in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then she buried one of her brothers, I think, in March of this year. And then on today, she buried her last brother on today. So we want to keep that family lifted up in prayer, because we know that even through this, God is still good and he's still worthy to be praised, not only for her and her family. We want to continue to lift up all those that have bereaved all over the land. We want to continue to lift up Queen Elizabeth II's entire family and that country. as she has made her heavenly transition. We want to continue to lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We ask that you will continue to lift them up and lift them up in prayer, because we serve an awesome God who is still healing, delivering, and setting his people free. We serve an awesome God. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children, thanking you and praising you first and foremost for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you are truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth, and all power in heaven and in earth is still in your hands, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we see or what we hear. We thank you that you are still in control, and you are a promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people, even on tonight, that you will continue to get the glory through each one of our lives individually and as a corporate body of believers. So now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every one of us that are saved in Jesus' name. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Now, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up our cousin Deetra and her entire family, as she has celebrated the homegoing of her brother and funeralized him on today down in Greensboro, North Carolina. We continue to lift her up in prayer and her entire family, Queen Elizabeth, the second's entire family, and all those that are bereaved on tonight all over the land. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your presence, even as they grieve and go through their hour of bereavement. Also, we want to continue to lift up Pastor Kenneth Harris, who funeralized his brother also on today, the pastor of Detroit Bible Tabernacle in Detroit, Michigan. We want to continue to lift up Pastor Kenneth E. Harris and his entire family as well. And also, Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So touch, heal, and deliver, and strengthen your people as only you can in the name of Jesus. We lift up author Kimberly Mallory, Heavenly Father, she's going through health challenges right now, and just place her father in a nursing home. We pray and ask that you will continue to touch and heal the strength of her body, continue to give her the strength that she needs to move forward and fulfilling her God purpose in your life, that you get the glory. Now, Father, we pray that you will move by your spirit on tonight through Deacon Margaret Cox as she get ready to share with us another inspirational poem and deliver your word. We pray, Lord, that should there be any listener that's not saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer, hoping and desire that something will be said through your word, that they will hear your word and receive it on tonight. They will open their own mouths to confess their sins and transgressions, and that's what must they do to be saved in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight, so that you may increase in each one of us individually and as a corporate body of believers, that you get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to a saying on tonight. Most people want to be the sun to lighten up someone's life. But why not be the moon to shine in someone's darkest hour? That's powerful. And I'm going to say that again because someone needs to hear that spiritual food for thought. Most people want to be the sun to lighten up someone's life. But why not be the moon to shine in someone's darkest hour? I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note, I do not own the copyright to any music or songs played on this robot ministry platform. So right now, as we get ready to go to our music break, I'm going to ask again that all listeners, I thank you for dialing in and tuning in through social media platforms around the world. Please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready. So following this music break, you'll be able to follow along as Deacon Marvin Cox brings forth God's word on tonight. And because of the God we serve, because he is a promise keeper, we're going to play for you Worth Living. Thank God that Jesus thought that your life and my life was worth living even before the foundation of the world. He sacrificed his own life. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew that we were going to need a Savior. And thank God for Jesus that he came down and paid our sin debt with his own precious sinless blood on the cross. A debt that he did not owe, but he knew it was a debt that we could not pay. Because of that, we're playing for you all on tonight as a music break song, Worth Living. After this music break, We're going to come back and yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy. Yes, yes, yes. Thank God for Jesus that he thought that our lives was worth living, that he sacrificed his own life and paid our sin debt with his own precious blood on the cross. I want to make this announcement real quick before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox. Please mark your calendars. Again, please mark your calendars for these upcoming announcements that I'm about to make. You do not want to miss these announcements. Next Thursday night, September the 22nd, I have an author by the name of Kimberly Mallory who has written a book, and it's titled, There is No Sound in My Scream, Drugs, Truth and Faith. I have the book in front of me. I have read the book, and this book is so powerful, it is about to be turned into a movie. It's based on her life, true story. It's about to be turned into a movie. Again, there is no sound in my scream, drugs, dealing with drugs, truth, and faith. Author Kimberly Mallory will be tonight, September the 22nd. For those of you that have heard part one from husband and wife team pastors Gerald and Carol Irving, they will be doing part two of their message on next Saturday, September the 24th. And then we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. He'd normally be on this show bringing forth God's word every third Thursday night, but because of I was in a, blessed to be a part of a movie that's coming out in November, we were doing filming for that movie. So we I finally finished my part of the filming. So that's why I was not on the air on the 15th of this month, and that's why you did not hear from Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., but he will be delivering God's word on Thursday night, September the 29th, Pastor, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. So I hope you mark your calendars because you do not want to miss these awesome men and women of God as God is using them to be a blessing to the body of Christ, that God will get the glory through each one of their lives. So right now, we are so excited to have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who will be bringing forth with sharing with us another inspiration. And then following his point, he's going to go direct into God's word. And following his message, I will be opening up the phone lines once again on tonight for anyone that may have a question pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so following the message. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen, amen, amen again. I thank the Lord for this golden opportunity that he has once again given me to come before the throne of grace to share his word with his people. Won't carry for you long, but the Lord gave me something that, as Brother Brown said, it left a little meat on it. So I'm going to go right into tonight's lesson. I'll read a poem to you, and the poem is, "Who is a brother and who is a friend?" Who is a brother, who is a friend? That's a question right there. Someone who may not be there at the start, but is with you to the end. One who would say he loves you without speaking the word, and he will never condemn you or call to something that he heard. Someone through his action, he shows that he cares, and no matter how little he has, he always shares. When trouble comes his way, he will rarely complain, and he will never mistreat you for his own selfish gain. One who requires that you try your best, and will provide words of comfort when your mind and soul needs rest. Someone who is a cheerleader and a positive thing that you do, but in your times of dilemma, they will never abandon you. Your times of weakness will help you to stay strong, but he won't endorse you when he knows that you are wrong. He will say you can do better, and to temptation don't yield, and to protect his friends and loved ones, he'll use himself as a shield. A brother and a friend is someone you can trust and is fair in his mind, compassionate, and just. He's faithful, loyal, honest, understanding, and true. My best friend is Jesus. What about you? Amen. Now, I'll read to you from tonight's lesson. I'll be reading to you from Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 17th verse. And it reads, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." I've just read to you from the book of King James, Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 17th verse. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word, as well as his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Now, a topic that the Lord gave me to share tonight is a friend is better than a kin. And the verse 17 of the 17th chapter of Proverbs gives us an illustration. It says, "A friend loveth at all times." So a friend's love never, ever ceases. It never diminishes. It never is put on hold because that friend happened to disagree with you. Now, I don't know about you, but Jesus is the best friend that the world has ever had. And we're talking about a friend, and we're talking about brothers. Now, see, we're talking about our biological brothers, but you can give me a spiritual brother anytime, because see, it says in the latter part of that verse, we say, "But a brother is born for adversity." So this is telling me that some brothers feel that they are up under obligation. An obligation because they happen to share the same mommy and the same daddy. But that friend, now see, we're gonna dwell on that friend, because see, that friend, he has no boundaries to the love that he will show you. And once again, that friend is better than Jesus. Now, I know we have biological brothers and sisters who will do whatever they can for us. But the minute we get on their nerves, then it's a limit to what they will do for us. It's a limit to how far they will go with us. But see, I know a friend that will go all of the way. I know a friend that will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. So we have to be mindful that this friend, and see, I don't want nobody to think that I'm knocking the family, because the family is it is the most important unit that we have going on. But if you were to take inventory right now and just sit on the bus or sit on the airplane or sit in the doctor's office, you will see how people are having all types of conflicts with their brothers, with their sisters, with their loved ones. And they have proclaimed, if you're a social media person, you look at Facebook and you will find that there are so many feuds that are going on with my mama's son, my daddy's son, my mama's daughter, my daddy's daughter, that we cannot get past that. Why? Because our flesh is in the way. We keep allowing our flesh to dictate to us not to go that limit that friend will go. For example, we're going to come up with a few examples here. Now, when Job made a pact with his friends, and they said to one another, if any one of us ever get into any trouble, what we'll do, we'll leave our families and we will come and minister to their friend. You know, the wife have to understand, the children have to understand, the boss have to understand, the neighbors have to understand that while we are ministering to the friend, that friend come first in our life. So we're going to get to Job, but the Lord has provided me with some scriptures that I could share with you concerning that friend. See, that friend is going to encourage you to build one another up, to labor with each other. But see, we got so many professional jealousies in our families, so many dark secrets in our families, that it would not allow us to love one another the way that the Lord has loved us. Now, if we go to the prodigal son, the baby boy, he told the father, he said, I want the goods that fall to me. He went out there and he lived crazily. He went out there and he did everything he thought that he was big enough to do. And then he fell on hard times. We all know the story. And so he come to the realization that he had a father and a friend who would look out after him. He left very arrogantly, but he came back humble. He came back contrite. And so when the brother seen the excitement that was on the dad's face and the response that the father brought forth concerning the son, he was so happy. He said, okay, we're gonna throw him a party. But the other brother, the elder boy, he was so jealous was so envious. He began to say and say things that we say about our brothers and our sisters. You mean to tell me, as if he was the one that was offended, which he was not. He said, do you mean to tell me that this guy that went out there, he done laid with harlots. He done everything. He done squandered your money. Now, it would be different if it was his money. But he said, Dad, he went out there and he squandered your money. And so he left from there and he was bitter, which is sometimes when we feel that our brothers and our sisters are getting a little bit more attention than us, we begin to have that jealousy in our heart. But see, friends don't have that kind of jealousy. Friends become each other's cheerleaders in the righteous and spiritual things, accomplishment of the other friend. I could never be jealous of Brother Brown because the Lord has blessed him to spend. I feel like it's me also. And we should all feel that way. We shouldn't have not even a twinge of jealousy within ourselves when our brothers or our sisters are being elevated in the Lord. So we're going to move right along here because that friend is better than a kin. And we're talking about brothers and sisters. If we go and we look in the book of Genesis and we see that, and we know that jealousy and envy and being covetous have messed up a relationship. We have chased many people out of the church. Why? Because when they came back, we didn't treat them right. We was murmuring among ourselves and said, don't worry about it. They're going back out there. We didn't become part of the welcoming committee. We sat in the back just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees did, and we were sending our scouts up to the front because we didn't want to show the disgust that was on our face, so we discussed it among each other. Now, Proverbs, the 18th chapter, tells us, and it warns about these. See, we have friends, but are they reliable friends? It says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there a friend that is a friend who sits closer than a brother. Now, we know that friend is Jesus Christ. We know that he will, can, and will, and have down through the years to us than any brother can. You know, we know, as I say, our brothers, they have limitations. There's only so much that they can do, and they begin to withdraw themselves away from us. Why? Because of whatever reason. You know, you could think of a lot of reasons why they will perform in that type of way. Now, we're going to move right along to, we discussed Proverbs 17:17, and we're talking about a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. So that part-time brother, see, I didn't even pick up on that when I first read it. Say, but a brother is born for a time of adversity. Now, if you notice when there's disasters around the world, what they do, they say that they have, you know, the brotherhood of do-gooders. They come together and they send their little Red Cross donations out, or they send their little care packages out. But see, what about that friend that loveth at all times? That friend that is a 24-hour friend. That friend who watches over you. That friend that keeps you safe. See, brothers, when they respond at a time of adversity, guess what? Something terrible didn't happen. So we have to be aware. I mean, it's good to know that we got the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and all of these people to come and assist us during times of disaster. But I would rather have your love at all times because, see, I can easily become a tax write-off. You know, when we did this, you know, when they got the hurricanes and then they got the people that send large sums of money to, that's good. There's nothing wrong with philanthropy, but what about that brother that you passed on your way into the office building and he was in need and you immediately informed him, nobody gave me nothing. You better get a job. So you look at some people, we go into different places and we begin to think that we are better than somebody. We lie. Because why? Because we're not friendly. We're not being that friend. We're not loving at all times. We're supposed to meet the need in other people's lives. Now, moving right along. We're going to move right here to John, which this is the Lord talking. Say, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Now see, that's a single thing. That's a single thing right there. Then to lay down one's life. So in other words, sometimes we have to make, and I'm not talking about put ourselves in front of a bullet. Let me explain this to you. Sometimes when I got a sister out there by the name of Gwen Walker, whenever somebody have a problem or, you know, even on the air several times, Brother Brown told us that she would listen to the show, but it was a greater need. She rushed immediately, put everything that she had on hold, went to the hospital to minister to their brother or their sister that was in distress. So this is what I'm talking about. When you lay down your life, that means that all things that were important become unimportant, and you go and you take care of that. As I say, you don't have to run down and, you know, in front of a car or anything like that, but just be there. Just do the things that God will have you to do. And see, sometimes we say, oh, well, you know, I die for my brother, but up under the right, or I die for my friend. Sometimes we look at the word and we can get confused, and it says, okay, it says that, you know, I can die for him. But see, you can't die for your brother. You got to die for yourself. You can't die for nobody else but yourself. Now, you may do something that may prolong that individual's life for a little while. But let's see what Job got to say. In Job 16, chapter 20 and 21st verse, it says, my intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as one pleads for a friend. So if you notice, you know, we didn't kind of like got a little bit past the Kennery. I'm going to keep on emphasizing that Kennery is very, very important. That bloodline is extremely important when it comes down to the things that the Lord will have us to do. As I say, that's the fabric and the foundation. You know, the mother, the father, the sister, the brother, they make up that family. Each and every individual, I don't want to minimize nobody concerning that. Now, we're going to move on once again to Job, 42nd chapter, 10th verse. It says, when Job prayed for his friend, the Lord restored his fortune, give him twice as much as before. Now, how important is that? See, Job, he didn't pray for the Lord to replace that which he lost. He prayed for his friends. But the Lord, see, have you ever prayed for somebody and then next thing you know, the Lord is blessing you because you had somebody else's best interest in your heart. So we're getting away from that Kennery, but I'm sorry, I just got to focus on that friend, because see, that friend is something wonderful. Now, Proverbs in the 27th chapter of Proverbs. It says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. So it's some sweet brothers and it's some sweet sisters out there that will sit down and they will counsel you. And you know, that's one of the sweetest feelings that you could ever have when you go to a brother with bowed down head or sister with bowed down head, and they give you some advice. And then later on, it's very rewarding to me when they come back and say, you know what, I listened to you, and what you told me was of a great benefit to me. It's the oil and perfume mm-hmm. make the heart glad, and the sweetness of friends. See, sometimes we have some sour friends. We have some, as I read to you earlier, this says that that unreliable friend will cause ruin unto you. So I know each and every last one of our children at one time or another had bad association, and they told us, well, my friend this and my friend that. And we warned them about that friend. We said, no, that, you know, that ain't your friend, because if you go through your life over the span of your life, you probably can count the people on one hand that you actually can call your friends. The other ones are co-workers. The other ones are associates, pals, buddies, road dogs. But when it's going to get tough, the tough get going. So mm-hmm. make a self-examination, because why is it that my best friend always can borrow my money, but he never want to pay me back? Now, what kind of friend is that? Because if you're not careful, sometimes when somebody come to you, you'll delay paying the bill. You'll delay paying the bill, or relative come to you, you'll delay paying that bill. But you won't say nothing to the borrower about it. You won't say, well, hey, this is such and such a thing, because you'd be relying on them to keep their word. Now, Psalms 133:1 tells us, so we're talking about how family and family, a kin will do that in a minute. And thank you upon the obligation, or because you got a pretty decent job that you're supposed to, but not so. Au contraire, mon frère. So Psalms 133:1 says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. See, this is a good thing when brothers in Kennery, when they dwell in unity, when they get along real good. But see, that friend is going to dwell with you in unity and in disunity. When he disagree with you, he's going to say, hey, you know, you was out of line when you did that. But you know what? It's not going to do anything to tarnish your friendship. If you tell your brother, man, that was wrong, you run the risk of him not speaking to you for like 112 years. If you tell your sister the same thing, you run the risk of her not, you know, when she's driving down the street, she'd go way out of her way to keep from driving by your street. So we run a big risk. Some of us are Kennery over the most trivial of things have stopped speaking to us. Why? Because you told my kid that he shouldn't be smoking, that smoking is no good. But you didn't have no right to chastise my child like that. I don't appreciate that. Some of the most trivial things in the world, we lose our friendship and we lose our fellowship. We lose our Kennery. The Kennery is going to always be there, but we have to be careful, because, see, sometimes, see, that, as I say, that brother is born out of adversity, a time for adversity. So, once again, he's not a full-time participant in our life. He just, you know, here come around every now and then. But that friend is going to love us at all times. He's going to call and check on us. He's going to be concerned about us. And then when he knows that there's a need there, we don't have to ask them. Even though the Lord, he wants us to confess to him, Lord, I'm in trouble. The only way I can get out of this trouble is that you assist me in getting out of this trouble. Now, that's different. But if you got knowledge that your friend that made some bad decisions and you don't do nothing about it, you don't call and ask him, well, what can I do? You know, and a lot of us, hey, I might automatically, you know how you look at TV and sometimes they got a disclaimer up there before you get started where, hey, these opinions is not the views of the TV station. I might tell them up front, hey, I'm broke, but, you know, I can help you in other areas. So sometimes we just, you know, because there are other areas that we can help other people in. You know, we're supposed to build, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. So in the event that that friend is down, it's not hard to help that friend up. It's not hard to say, okay, let us pray together. Now, I'm going to skip back to Job for a minute. Now, I want you to think about his friends for a minute. Now, he was a better friend to them than they was to him, even though they came probably from miles away. But they questioned him. They knew that he was a man of integrity. But what did they say? Job? No, they sat down. He didn't say nothing for a while. But then in their hearts, man, he must have really did something God had, man, for you to be going through all of this. But see, sometimes you don't have to do nothing wrong in order for calamities to come about you or come upon you. You don't have to do wrong. So, but when your friends, see that, could you imagine with all the different things that he was going through that they questioned him? Now, that's hurtful when you're going through a dilemma and then people say, oh, that's karma. God is paying you back for something. But had the thought ever occurred to those individuals that God could be using you? Have you considered my servant, Brother King, in North Carolina? Have you considered him? How he was in the ring and went 15 rounds with COVID and ended up having a TKO on COVID. Have you considered him other than, oh, yeah, he did this and he did that? See, sometimes we don't even look at the glory that God can get sometimes out of people's suffering.
So, that's right.
So we know that Romans, the 12th chapter, says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. See, that brotherly affection is, you're gonna look out for one another. But as I say, sometimes that brother or that sister said, look, I'm tired. They know that there's a great need in your life, but, you know, I'm tired of doing this, and I'm tired of doing outdo one another and showing honor. And see, I can honor you and give you all the love and attention that you need without stooping down to your foolishness. So
that's right.
To love one another, to one another. Okay, now here we go, one right here. Now let's go for friends and kin. It said, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, how many so-called friends have we stopped speaking to because there was no forgiveness in our heart, or it was no forgiveness in their heart? God's word says 100 times before to forgive our brother. So God's word is saying, bear with each other. So in other words, Some things we can't stand. Some things we can't tolerate. But the word says bear with one another. So in other words, why you going through this dilemma that you're going through? Hey, I'm going to hang with you. I ain't going, what the Lord's word say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that's a friend right there. See, I know you're going through. I know that you're having problems in your life, but don't despair. So this is what Colossians is telling us, that we're supposed to bear with one another. Now, see, we got these kind of brothers and sisters. The perverse person stirs up conflict, and the gossip separates close friends. Uh-oh, what's up now? Now, only thing I can say about that is just be careful, because people begin to look at things and they say, oh, man, they begin to work at Chrysler or Ford or General Motors. Why? Because they begin to manufacture things about you, about the closeness that you have with somebody else. Why? Because you don't have that closeness with them. So God's word is telling us that gossip, it separates close friends. So don't let nobody get in your ear about somebody. Hey, Brother Brown, I want to pull your coat, man. So-and-so was talking about you like a dog. Okay, well, what did you say? Some people will come to you and they'll tell you everything that somebody else said, but they refuse to tell you that they joined in the conversation. They say, yeah, they agree with them. Now, if they would have came to you and said, yeah, so-and-so was saying such, and I said, look, man, I don't want to hear that about my friend. You could take that someplace else. You know, because, see, that's known as nipping something in the bud. But, see, when you got those itchy ears, then we want to consume and take in all of this negative stuff that people are talking. But, see, a friend is better than a kin. And, see, our list, I hate to say it, but our list is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Because, see, we started off with a whole room full of people. But as I begin to look around, guess what? It's an echo in here. Why? Because Elvis has left the building. Now, I know a lot of us, went to high school and everything, and we considered, people, you always hear them say that, man, so-and-so got a whole bunch of friends. Once again, not so. He got a lot of people that he have knowledge of, or a lot of people that she have knowledge of, but be careful, because they out to get you in some way or another, get you, manipulate, or whatever. Now, 1 Peter 4th chapter 8 through 10 verse, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as great steward of God's very grace. So, we know that when we begin to do for our brothers, see, that, like I say, that can, see, sometimes our grace kind of like it wears out. We know that our grace sometimes get to the point where it's very difficult for us to communicate. We know that sometimes the obligation of kinery, the obligation, that's your brother, that's your sister, you're going to do them like that, hey, you just ain't got no kind of idea how that joker is acting. But see, that friend is not going to put you out there. Now, you see this every day, how somebody say, man, that dude disrespected me. Say, man, I ain't going to let nobody disrespect you, and they go and shoot up the guy's house. Now, what kind of friend is that? Say, hey, man, hey, you better leave that alone. You're going to go harm somebody that didn't really do no harm to your so-called friend. But okay, but all right, on the street, what we do, we call them brothers. Oh, that's my brother. You know, it's the brotherhood. Hey, bro. So I like to thank the Lord. There's so much more that we could talk about that friend being better than a kin. But see, the Lord said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Now, there's no friend in the world like that. See, can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's what?
I know that's what
the song said. He's my friend. And when you say that, you can't get no personal than that because, see, my is a personal pronoun. So we'd like to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity to let us know. I'm not saying disrespect family. I'm saying love one another. Be good to one another. Be kind to one another. Be understanding of one another. Forbear for one another. But see, we're talking about that spiritual friend that will stick closer than a brother. And it's only one individual that I know that fits that description, and that's Jesus. Because, as I say, family sometimes, it will disappoint you, but love them anyway. So we're talking about that friend. We ain't trying to bash nobody's family. We ain't trying to get in nobody's business. But may God bless you, and may he ever keep you. Amen. I'll turn you over to Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that powerful word on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. Matter of fact, you can do part two to that one because I know there's more that you want to say, but time will not permit us to get it all in tonight. So you can just mark it down for the next time you're on, do part two for this message. So okay. Right now I'm going to open up the phone lines for all those that have dialed in. Right now, as I always say, a lot of people want to open up the phone lines. Some people do dial in, but they don't say anything when the lines are open. But don't take that lightly. We still thank God for you for dialing in to be a part of this worldwide ministry platform. This is a powerful and much-needed word on tonight. To just share it with me and you, the listeners. So the phone lines are open right now for anyone that may have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you have an opportunity to do so now. All the phone lines are open. Anyone?
All right, good evening, Brother Cox. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing if I'm not doing any better, be a frame up.
Great, great. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for that beautiful poem. That's a beautiful poem, Brother Cox. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Oh, you're more than welcome.
I was thinking about the friendship and the love we have with our friends. Most of the time, that's an unconditional kind of love. You know,
Absolutely. Like
you were saying, they do things and we just let it slide. But then when our family do something, we fall out with them. Like you say, we don't talk to them. So that's kind of strange how your family's love or your relationship is not unconditional. But with your buddies, it is.
Amen to that.
Wow. Wow, that's deep. But that's true. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Sister Gwen. That's a powerful insight. But it's very true. Anyone else? The phone lines are open. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I know that Sister Gwen and myself are not the only people that enjoy this message. Yes, go ahead.
I enjoyed the last 30 minutes of it.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. And Deacon Cox, you keep up the good work.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina. Praise the Lord for her. Thank you, Sister Mary Ann. Anyone else?
Well, praise the Lord and thank God for what he has done through Deacon Cox, that word. Thank God for you, Brother Brown. That word was powerful, and it was definitely confirmation for me. And I want you all to know to keep on keeping on up God's highway, because you're blessing many souls and you may not even know it.
Amen. I thank you for that.
Amen. Sister Tara Doss, that was a member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, where I am also a member. Sister Tara Doss, for those of you that don't remember, she is the one that I would let you all know that a couple of months ago she had surgery on her throat, and the devil tried to block her from being able to speak again. So there was times when she dialed into the show and could not speak, but she wanted to say something. But now, thanks be to God, he has given her voice back. The devil is her prayer, and God is the healer. So she is living proof because she's able to speak again. And we just give God the glory, honor, and praise for that, that she's able to be a witness for the Lord on this worldwide ministry platform and share with those that brief of God's word. She's able to give them words of encouragement now because God has given her voice back. So we thank God for that. And anyone else? While the phone lines are open, anyone else?
Okay.
Yeah, I want to.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I want to give Deacon Cox his flowers. You know, if he could allow the Holy Spirit to use him in such a unique way that the Spirit of God uses him, that you continue to press on, and you're right, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And his word will never turn forth. So just continue to be encouraged in the Lord. And keep. I know you can tell by how you allow the Lord to use you that you put your time in and studying before the face of God. It's just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you guys. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
Well, I thank you for that. I thank you.
That was Pastor Norman King. Thank you from Greensboro, North Carolina. Thank you so much, Pastor Norman King. And by the way, when Pastor Norman King comes back on again, he's going to be doing part two of his message from this past Thursday night. And his message title was, Here Am I, Send Me. So that he had a lot to say pertaining to that message also, but he did not get a chance to finish it all. So when he's on again, the next time he will be doing part two of that message. And then don't forget that this message that we just received from Deacon Marvin Cox from the Word of God, not from Deacon Marvin Cox, but it was through the Word of God, but Deacon Marvin Cox was just the vessel that the Lord used to send us this word that we needed to hear on tonight. So he will be doing that. A friend is better than a kin. So on the next time that Deacon Marvin Cox is on, so mark your calendars for that as well. Once again, I want to say to you all, the listeners, don't take it. I don't ever take you all lightly or for granted. I thank each and every last one of you for those that make comments. Either we have a lot of people that do dial in and they don't say a word, but we thank God for you as well for taking time out to dial in to be blessed by God's word. And then most definitely, we also want to thank all those that tuned in through social media platforms around the world. We thank God for each one of you as well. And we thank you all that you tuned in to this worldwide ministry platform to be blessed by God's word through testimonies, through the different poems, through the music, and through the prayers. We just give God the glory for what he is doing in this worldwide ministry platform. And it is marvelous in our eyes, and the best is still yet to come. So right now we're going to close out for tonight. I'm going to ask whether they are in the sanctuary tomorrow or whether through social media platforms they're going to deliver God's word. Those that are teaching God's word through Sunday school lessons on tomorrow and those that are going to deliver his word on tomorrow, we want to continue to lift them up in prayer that God will use them so that souls will be saved through his word, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through God's word. I want to say, I'll give a shout-out real quick to my pastor and shepherd, none other than Pastor Mark C. Holloway, pastor of the church, also located in Harper Woods, Michigan. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. Once again, we come together as sisters and brothers. Thank you for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ being the living word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are being faithful to us only. We pray and lift up all those that faithfully tuned in to this worldwide ministry platform, whether it's by phone or through social media platforms around the world. Continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that we give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you continuously extend to each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. We thank you that you're still watching over your word to perform in the lives of your people all over the land. Continue to have your way in each one of our lives individually and as a corporate body of believers, that you get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I always say, and it's the truth, know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Life for me.